The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders on this August 25th, Thursday, 2022. And indeed, I'm the voice of the Christian resistance more than ever, right now, more than ever, the voice of the Christian resistance. And tonight we have, well, here, if I look through the window on the other room, I have Eric in there with Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
Okay. And right here live with me in the studio, I've got Radical Randy.
Be blessed, no stress, everybody.
And Lock and Load Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
Now, you might want to know why I have them all here. I have them here so that I can keep an eye on them. I got them right where I can see them. I know what they're doing. All right. Also, we have calling in from down around, I think it's down around Cincinnati, Ohio, none other than the Resistance Chicks.
Hey, Pastor Ernie. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Very good.
Which one of you am I talking to? Is this Leah?
No, you've got Michelle. Leah may join us in a little bit.
All righty. Well, very good. We'll be looking forward to having her. Now, listen, you're here to go right to the Bible study with me, and then we've got one heck of a program. You ready for it? You ready for the Word of God?
I'm buckled and ready.
Okay, let's get going. We're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 2. And now, Michelle, we always, whenever I preach sermons, I always do the best I can to show you how it relates to the days that we're living in. How you take God's word, the Bible, and you put it to practical application so that people can say, well, gee, I can see how that reflects current events, what's happening to us now. Because if we can't put the application of the word of God and learn from that, and see how the prophecy is being fulfilled before our very eyes, then it's not very profitable, is it?
No, not at all.
So let's take a look at 2 Peter. Let's go. Now, you can stop me anywhere along the way and ask any kind of questions. Just jump right in there. Don't be afraid.
Okay.
But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of who the way of truth shall be evil spoken. And through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Well, today we have the apostate church. We have today the world, the National Council of Churches, where basically they embrace sin. Right in Cleveland, they have the headquarters of the United Church of the Antichrist, where they embrace everything, whether it's abortion, whether it's euthanasia, whether it's sodomy, whatever the sin is, pedophilia, they embrace it. And so this is what he's talking about when they said they will make merchandise of you, and they will, and that also applies to the prosperity church out there, the name it and claim it, the grab it and stab it, and shake it and break it. What you have with the prosperity church, especially the Word of Faith movement, and that many. They preach repentance is not necessary for salvation. Repentance is not necessary. This is what they preach. What was the very first thing that the Lord Jesus preached on, Michelle? Or
repent.
Repentance. That's exactly right. The very first thing, right? John the Baptist came preaching what?
Repentance.
And before they did that, all the way back in the days of Noah, for 120 years, what did he preach?
Repentance.
And so here, now if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah and eight persons, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now let me ask you this. Do you know what the sin was that these angels, why they were cast down into hell? What was it they committed that caused them to be cast out into hell?
Didn't they join the devil's rebellion?
Yes.
Well, that got them cast down into earth, okay? When they rebelled against God in heaven, and they were cast out upon the earth. But they had instructions to do what? Have no communications with mankind, right?
Right. Right. That's right.
So what did they do?
They came down and had relations with women.
Yes. They had relations with women. And yes. What was the outcome of that?
The giants, the Nephilim.
So let me ask you, what happens when they had the relations with women? What did it do with the DNA?
I don't understand what you mean.
The DNA in the people in those days, when you took this foreign element. Remember, you human have the humankind.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened? It changed the DNA, didn't it?
Yeah, oh. Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so now what is happening today?
Well, transhumanism. There's a whole movement of changing in the DNA in everything, whether it's in animals, men, or men to animals, or whatever. There's a whole, it's called transhumanism.
And what are these so-called vaccines that are not vaccines, but are actually literally, they are bioweapons. And what are they doing to the DNA?
Altering the DNA. Yes. Your DNA, once you take the vax, your DNA is altered. I mean, think about this. It's like on a true vaccine, what happens is your immune system attacks whatever it is it's been trained to attack. On this new one, you're making a spike protein. That's not the natural response to manufacture something. It's for the immune system itself to attack whatever the invading thing is.
We're going to be playing a clip tomorrow, that clip that you had listened to. Boy, I'm going to tell you, it is powerful. And we're going to take a look at exactly the whole purpose, Michelle, was to, and we've been preaching this, teaching on this since back in the early 80s about the depopulation program. I sat in the meetings with the New World Order, with these people back in those days, with the World Health Organization, with Sierra Club, with Planned Predators, when they didn't know who I was. And they were talking about different ways. When Bill Gates was coming onto the scene and how they were using these vaccines, well, they give you a list of ways to depopulate the earth down to 500 million. And so I sat there and I took notes, and then I would go right in the air and tell people what I just heard, what they did. And because at that time, they didn't know what I looked like. And when I would show up to meeting, they all thought I was with one of the other groups. And so, but after that, after I went on the air with it, then there wasn't no way I was going to get into meetings anymore. They were watching for me. But here, let's go back to where we left off. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that should live ungodly. Today, what is it that they keep pushing? They push on all society into the public schools as something that's acceptable, like it's a good thing. If you watch Spectrum One News, which I think is probably one of the most antichrist out there as far as promoting what they call LGBTQ. And what is being taught in the public school system is that LGBTQ, lewd, gross, belligerent, transgressing queers, is something to be grasped, something to be embraced.
Yes. That's right.
But God's word, the Bible, calls it abominable.
Yes. Exactly.
And so, in fact, the very first time that word abomination was used was to describe the sin of sodomy. So sodomy is a horrible sin, but it's being taught and promoted by NBC, ABC, CBS, by Hollywood. But everything that is ungodly and unclean out there is something acceptable and desirable, right?
That's right.
Yes.
So now he goes on to say, and delivered just Lot, vexed with filthy conversation of the wicked, for the righteous man dwelling among them is seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Now, here, what do you think that means? What, look, we're very anti-government today, but we're anti-corrupt government. What is he talking about here when he despised government? What type of government is he talking about?
The government of God.
Yes.
The true government. True rule, if you will.
Okay. When, who knows, Michelle, do you know where we got the divine institution of human government? I mean, when we're talking about actual human government.
I mean, I guess I would take it all the way back to, Moses. Not even Moses, but yeah, I mean, you could go back to Moses, but I'm thinking about when the Israelites actually requested a king.
Well, you'd have to go back a bit further. You'd have to go back to the Noahic covenant when, after the flood, when Noah and his family hit dry ground, they offered up a sacrifice, and then God gave them the covenant, and this was the divine institution of human government. And you see that in Genesis chapter 9. Now, he makes 5 points for divine human government. So what I'm talking about is actual, legitimate, real government, what God has called. See, today we have all of these things that are not, you use all these sound bites and things that are really not the way they are. Like, for example, they talk about same-sex marriage. Well, there is no such thing as same-sex marriage. And the reason there cannot be any such thing is when God gave us the first divine institution, God gave us the definition of marriage. And he made it clear that marriage could only be between a man and a woman. And that was marriage. So what they've done is they've taken adultery and fornication and they've branded it as marriage. And it's not marriage. And that's a lie told by liars, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's right.
Well, and when you look at the original, this original word in there for government, koreotes, it just means dominion. Now, if we go back to what we've been given, we have been given dominion. So when these people despise government, they despise dominion, that means they're despising the ecclesia, the body of Christ that actually has the government and dominion on this earth since Jesus gave it to us.
Well, you're right. You see, when he gave us that, in Genesis chapter 9, the first point was that he gave us was, to whom was he given us? He was given, to whom was this covenant made with? And you find that in verses 10, 11, 12, and 15 and 16, to all mankind for perpetual generations, and then into all living beings. So this is a covenant that spans all seven dispensation periods. It spans. So here, when he makes the second point, and the second point was the intent of divine government. Now, you're right, because when we get to the third point, we hit dominion. But when the intent of divine human government was man was to govern for God, man governs for God. You find that in verses 1 through 4. But then, Michelle, and you come to the third point Now, this is the entire purpose of human government. Listen, he gives us in these verses 5 through 7, this is the entire purpose of legitimate human government. And that is where we got the statute of the death penalty. And that is to preserve the image of God, that being man. To preserve the entire purpose. Now, what was the very first command that God gives us in the Bible? To be fruitful and multiply. And now he's going to give it to us the third time from Genesis 1 to Genesis 9, the third time, to be fruitful and to multiply. So right now, why do the heathen rage? The heathen rage around this country. I mean, and these people, like in New York, for example, and we're on some big stations in New York, but that state legislator in New York, God's word of the Bible, they're unclean. They're unclean. These are unclean people. They're wicked. Why? Well, they celebrated when they passed legislation to be able to kill a child after the child's born.
Okay? Right outside the womb.
Yes.
They are so unclean, they are so wicked, they are so evil, they are so despicable and ungodly. And, you know, here, the Bible says all of those that hate God love death. And that state legislator in New York, they love death. They love death. They're wicked, wicked people. And so here now, when he tells you this in verses 5 through 7, this is where you get the statue of the death penalty. If you destroy God's image, man, if you murder, and the word there is murder there, then you have to forfeit your own life. And so, and then you go to the fourth point. And the fourth point was the means by which man was to govern for God. God's laws, God's statutes, God's ordinance, God's covenants, God's commandments. And then the last point, Michelle, was this. That all of those peoples and nations that would be in compliance with the first four points would be at peace and at war with God. I don't think there's too many nations at peace with God today, is there?
No.
No. And so here he goes on to say this. Presumptions are they self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Well, here, dignities is not what we have today. What he's referring to there, dignities are glorious. The definition for that word is glorious beings, glorious beings. Now, believe me, those people in Washington are not glorious beings, you know, more like horrious beings. They're not glorious at all. But he's referring to those that will attack God. Will attack the angels, those that will attack Michael or
Gabriel
yeah, or whatever. But that's what he's referring to. That will speak evil. But mostly when you're going to speak evil, what do? They blaspheme the Holy Spirit, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And so here, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not rallying accusations against them before the Lord. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. Let me ask you this. Do you think that, does that define Antifa? Does that define burn, loot, and murder?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
And so, and shall receive reward of unrighteousness as they count it pleasure to riot, in the daytime, while they feast with you. Do you understand what he's referring to when he says, sporting themselves in their own deceivings, while they feast with you? Do you know what he's referring to? He's referring to those in the apostate church that take communion.
Take the Lord's table.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Here, having eyes full of adultery, and cannot cease from sin, being beguiling unstable souls, a heart which they exercise with covetousness, practice cursed children which have forsaken the right of way and have gone astray, following the ways of Balaam, the son of Bozar, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. And the dumbass speaking with man's voice forbid the madness of the prophet. Here, Balaam was one of the early prosperity preachers. What was Balaam's sin? What was he trying to do?
Well, God told him not to curse Israel, but to bless them. But he was being paid off by the opposition to curse them in opposition to what God was saying. He was being paid off.
So out there today, when the prosperity preachers, when they go in and they poll a neighborhood, they go out and they find out what people want to hear preached.
Yeah.
Yes. Whatever it is. And then when they find out what they want to hear, then they provide a venue for that.
Yes.
And
yes.
If you went to Rick Warren's church in Saddleback, he had, 11 different venues, so-called, of worship, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So whatever you wanted to do, they'll provide it as long as you put money in the plate, huh?
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so here, he goes on, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass has speaking with a man's voice forbid the madness of the prophet. And these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mists of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Does that not describe our government?
Absolutely. And the idea is that the promise is there, but they're not going to deliver on that for you. For them, yeah, but not for you.
Now, is this the so-called Department of Justice and the FBI today? Okay, let me read that again. I mean, this perfectly describes the so-called Department of Justice. He said that while they promised them liberty, what was it Merrick Garland just said, that we don't distinguish between one or the other? We're only about justice and liberty, right?
That, well, he did say that.
You talk about a lie.
Yes.
Okay. They themselves are the servants of corruption, for whom a man is overcome, the same is brought in bondage. For if after they escape the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the later end is worse with them than in the beginning. Now, people misunderstand this passage of Scripture, as they do over in Hebrews. They misunderstand it as thinking that these people are saved, okay, and that they can lose their salvation. No. That's not what he's saying. In other words, they were told the truth. They understood, but they did not receive it.
Right.
Yes.
They rejected it, okay? Then they have known it to turn from their holy commandment delivered unto them, but it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his vomit again. Now, it's an interesting thing. This is the fifth time, there are five times in Scripture where homosexuals are referred to as dogs. Okay, homosexuals are referred to as dogs. And the sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire, I would say that that describes today, now, N-O-W, National
Women. Right, exactly.
Yes.
What about the squat there?
Yeah. Yes.
Would that? I mean, why? Because everything that God's Word, the Bible, calls unclean, they embrace.
Yeah, yes. They're promoting.
If you've heard these women, I was there at the Women's March. I'll never forget that. That was in 2017, January 2017, where they had that march, the anti-Trump march. That was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen. It was absolutely, totally disgusting. You had these Muslim women covered from head to toe out there, and they were shouting profanity. They were speaking. And then next to them, and it was about 44, 45 degrees out, you had the Democrats or Democratic women topless. They went out there and they went topless, and they were shouting profanities. They had 9 and 10-year-old boys and girls standing there carrying placards that says F you Trump on it, okay? Mm. You talk about absolutely, but then there was stuff that was even worse than that that were taking place down there. Again, the most disgusting thing, just like this Tlaib, that the congresswoman there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm listening to her talking to, and she's talking to, and every other word is F this and F that, okay? I mean, just filthy, filthy. These are extremely vulgar women, extremely vulgar. And we're going to play a fast clip, Michelle. And then when we come back from the clip, we'll have you comment on it. So,
okay, sounds great.
All right, can you hear me in there? Let's do the clip on the election.
The Chinese Communist Party, also known as the CCP, wanted to vote in the U.S. election. Will they get away with doing so? The CCP has long been able to influence U.S. politics and has historically tried to co-opt both Republican and Democrat leaders. This time around, the CCP made no secret of its preference. It was determined to defeat President Trump. Right under our noses, China-backed American communists from Liberation Road, the Communist Party USA, Left Roots, and San Francisco-based Chinese Progressive Association, or CPA, worked together to defeat the CCP's most feared enemy.
And we have a relationship with the Chinese embassy. Like, we actually have so, you know, I've had to have various conversations with them about our positioning.
Left Roots comrades Alex Tom and Adam Gold, with Liberation Road communist Michelle Foy, Sarah Jarman, and Maoist Max Elbaum, led mass voter registration organization Seed the Vote, which organized 7,000 election campaigners to sign up hundreds of thousands of minority voters in battleground states.
We have to get into the electoral arena. And we have to build strength that we can be part of a coalition and help shape the nature of the electoral campaigns and the candidates who run.
Seed the Vote worked with Arizona's Lucha.
We were focused primarily on communities of color, and we were able to drive 8 million calls as a coalition. We were able to knock on over 1 million doors.
The New Florida Majority, and Pennsylvania Stands Up, which openly takes credit for winning the state for Biden. In Nevada, the Asian Pacific Labor Alliance campaigned heavily for Biden. This organization was founded by pro-China communist Kent Wong. Michigan's Detroit Action is part of the network, as is Wisconsin's Bloc.
Getting really, 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 really close to calling Wisconsin. Biden is up by 20,697 votes. And in 2016, Trump carried the state by 22,748 votes. So it's almost that margin is still the same amount, roughly, but just inverse. And that's due to the work that we've done.
The Allied Texas Organizing Project, formerly known as Texas ACORN, is led by Communist Party USA members Bernard Sampson and Reverend James Caldwell. Communist Party USA leader John Bechtel supported the new Georgia Project. In North Carolina, the Carolina Federation is led by Liberation Road communist Sodolo Diamana.
If we're going to govern society, we need to be talking to everybody, and we need to be thinking about what does it take to build a majority, and how do we build strategies and stories that can build that majority right now.
The model for this CCP influence operation is New Virginia Majority, which has built a close relationship with the state's Democrat leadership. New Virginia majority is led by Liberation Road communist John Liss. The organization openly claims credit for flipping Virginia from Republican to Democrat by micro-targeting minority voters with sophisticated geographic information system precinct maps. These maps are generated by Liberation Road supporter Steve McClure, who works out of the geography department of Wuhan University, China. An American communist lockdown in Wuhan, China, is helping to flip Republican-held districts across the U.S. South.
We were really determined to defeat Trump. We were focusing on seven states this year, and, you know, it looks like six of those went to Biden.
Pro-CCP communists influenced the presidential election in favor of Joe Biden.
We just got to stay eyes on the prize. Now, to attacks on China and defending China, to me, the main thing is we got to get rid of Trump.
Are those being registered to vote by Chinese front groups also being targeted for potential recruitment by the CCP? Foreign influence in U.S. elections is a national security issue. Consequently, it is illegal for foreign governments to be involved in any way with the American voting process. It is a crime for the Chinese Communist Party to try to pick our president. Designate the CCP a transnational criminal organization. Learn more at presentdangerchina.org.
Once a man's home was his castle, only his foes would violate. And the border of his property was the moat round his estate. All these kingly rights of sovereignty, once bestowed on us by God, have been lost somewhere in history, in the fine print and the fraud. Once a man and his religion was protected by the law. In America, the Constitution formed a verbal wall. Now the law that used to separate is a law that's daily breached. Now the worried watchman on the wall is crying, heaven's under siege. Heaven's under siege. Whoa, now heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. When the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government, but heaven's under siege. Heard the watchman sound a warning call back in 1992. When they murdered Vickie Weaver, just like they'll murder me or you. When they stormed the church in Waco, women and children burned alive. And now the ones who rot in prisons are the ones they let survive. Heaven's under siege, whoa now heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. And the gentle lambs of Jesus Christ rot in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. And now a voice cries in the wilderness as the Lord prepares his church. Will his called and chosen servants be found faithful on this earth? Will we pass the test of heaven's quest, never counting earthly loss? Will we fight like Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross? Heaven's under siege, whoa now heaven's under siege. When the Bible and the Bill of Rights have been trampled in the streets. gentle lambs of Jesus Christ, brought in jails for their beliefs. You know corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege. I said corruption reigns in government when heaven's under siege.
Well, corruption is reigning here in government. And yes. But folks, I'm going to tell you, we're like the... We're Christian soldiers with our eyes upon the cross, and we run into this battle. Now, we have one half of the the resistance chicks with us here on the phone, and that's Michelle and her sister, Aaliyah, I hope, will be joining us soon.
No, she's here, Pastor Ernie.
Oh, she's here?
Hey,
we got both halves right now?
You got both halves. That makes a whole.
All righty. Now, after listening to that clip, I do want to say, you know, that I'm counting on you two to end this election fraud.
Good, because we're counting on God.
All righty. Uh-huh. Tell us what you're up to. You got a lot of things. You ladies have got a lot of things going, and you're going to be here and there. So tell us what's happening in the world of the resistance chicks.
All right. Well, you know, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. And I love that you guys talk about the Christian resistance here on this program pretty much every night of the week. And that's what we experienced this past weekend at Mike Lindell's The Moment of Truth Summit. We came and we gathered together to talk about election fraud. But the takeaway running theme was that everyone there is going to do it in the power of God. You know, we saw the Georgia Guidestones, I believe, struck down by lightning. I think that they were trying to cover up the fact that God did that and it was not a bomb. We saw the reversal of Roe versus Wade, essentially. And I believe that we're going to see the reversal of the election fraud. It was brought to light in 2020, but it's been happening for years.
Oh, yeah.
The clip that you played earlier about the CCP, they've been infiltrating America for decades. And it's just finally come to a head. And, you know, my mom has a saying, when the devil comes at you with a pitchfork and horns, then you finally got him. But it's when he comes at you as an angel of light. So every lie is being revealed. So what do resistance chicks have going on? Here in Ohio, you came to our very first Patriot Pastors event, where we're trying to gather all of the Patriot pastors together with the actual patriots and encourage them to work together, encourage the pastors to preach about election fraud, preach about the deep state and what you're doing, Pastor Ernie. Essentially, you are the ground game, right? You are the blueprint for what Patriot pastors need to be doing, not just in Ohio, but across the country. So we're encouraging people to do that. We also did an event at Neil Peterson's church, a Patriot candidate event, where we gathered as many Patriot candidates as we could to pray for God's will to be done in who should be in office. And so when we spoke at the summit to represent Ohio this past weekend, and I think you played this clip on your show, essentially we wanted to encourage people that we have the power. Jesus says, all power and authority has been given unto me and I give it to you. That we can know what these people are doing. We can cast the devil out of the machines. We can cast the devil out of the poll workers that are there. We can take dominion, like you were talking here for 2 Peter chapter 2. We can take dominion because they buck it. They are trying to, in the face of God, say, you can't beat us. And we're going to say, yes, we can. Yes, we will. And yes, we're going to. The other thing that we have going on, and I want to invite your entire audience to join us. In Plymouth, Massachusetts, this September 9th, 10th, and 11th, Leah and I are taking a bunch of people to teach them the foundation of our nation. Before 1776, there was 1620, a band of pilgrims came here by listening to the voice of God, and they wanted to expand the gospel of Jesus Christ to this nation. So we want you guys to join us. That right now is the primary focus that we have, to educate the Patriot movement and the body of Christ with our history, so that when you want to go against these people with the Declaration, with the Bill of Rights, with the Constitution, you know the people who wrote it, and you understand that if these Supreme Court justices are supposed to go to original intent, then we need to know the original intent as well. So we want to educate and arm people with that. So that's, in a nutshell, Pastor Ernie, what resistance chicks have going on.
Well, tell me a little bit more about, because we have a lot of listeners and a lot of supporters of this radio ministry in Massachusetts. I spoke there at Lexington on the Green. We did a reenactment of the shot heard around the world, and I'm going to tell you, the people that gathered around Tubby, Pastor, we always hear you talking about communism. We know all about it. We're living under it right here in Massachusetts.
That's a fact, and I'll tell you what. It goes back to the first Great Awakening, which happened all along the East Coast, right? They did it without sound systems. They showed up in horses and buggies. You had 40,000 people, a revival. Our founding fathers attributed the foundation of our nation to that first Great Awakening. And so when you talk about communism happening in Massachusetts and in that area in Cape Cod and New England, we have to take it back. But the paths have already been, our event is called the Covenant Restoring the Ancient Paths. That goes back to Jeremiah 6:16. Now that verse ends with, we should go back to these ancient paths, but they would not. And I would say we are going to. We're going to go back to the trails that have been blazed, not just by our founding fathers, but by our forefathers, because that area is so anointed. Pastor Ernie, when we went to Plymouth, Massachusetts to see the Forefathers Monument in 2013 and 2014, our lives were forever changed because these grounds are hallowed. When you go to Burial Hill where William Bradford is buried, you feel the anointing of God. And the famous quote that we all know part of goes like this. This is from William Bradford. As one small candle may light a thousand, so this light here has shone unto many. Yea, in some sort, to our whole nation, let the glorious name of Jehovah have all the praise. These band of pilgrims have miracle after miracle. They're the longest lasting peace treaty with the Wampanoag natives. We're going to do a recovenanting ceremony with the Native Americans on Sunday on 9/11, which is a very significant day that we all know to those of us living in the United States. We are going to take people back to the miracles that happened. These pilgrims became best friends with the Wampanoag Native Americans, and many of them became Christians. Squanto, who spoke English, became a best friend with the pilgrims, and he came to know Jesus Christ. So when we talk about this woke mob, this rewriting, this revisionist history, if you go back to the pilgrims, there was a slave ship that came past. You know what they did? They arrested the slave ship owners and they freed the slaves. So don't tell me that this nation is founded on bigotry or racism. If you go back to the real foundation, which is what happened in Plymouth and the miracles that happened with those pilgrims, you will realize that we are a nation united under one banner, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. So that's the goal, to educate and to empower and to allow the people that come. It's going to be an immersive experience, right? You're going to visit museums. We're going to go to the Plymouth they renamed it because of it is woke over there in Massachusetts. It was called the Plymouth Plantation. Now it's called the Plymouth Patuxent. But the Plymouth Plantation is a reenactment. You're going to visit how they lived. How did they do it? It only could have been done by the divine hand of providence. And that's a word you're going to hear a lot this weekend. The divine hand of providence, where God said, I want to send this band of pilgrims to this land to spread my gospel. You're going to get on the Mayflower too, which is a replica, and you're going to see just exactly what they went through, the persecutions that they had by the strangers that were on this ship, and how those strangers saw the miraculous work of God in these pilgrims, so much so that they actually repented for giving them a hard time. I mean, the stories that we have are overwhelming, and when you come, you will leave changed, and that's the whole goal.
So give me that date again. Did you say September 9th or...
9th, 10th, and 11th. It's a three-day and all immersive experience.
All right, very good. Now, for the folks out there listening, said, you know, I think I'd like to attend that, but how would they contact you?
So simple. Go to resistancechicks.com. There's a banner up at the top where it says The Covenant Restoring the Ancient Paths. Click on that, and all of the information that you need is right there. Leah and I prayed about it, and we actually decided to extend the early bird special that we had going indefinitely because we have so many people that were telling us they couldn't decide until last minute. So we said, you know what? We're going to make sure that everybody gets this deal. So the early bird special is going to continue. So make sure those are the tickets you purchase. And also we have a promo code, Plymouth, PLYMOUTH, and that will save you $10 off of the all-inclusive ticket, which gets you everything. And we're going to have meals. We're going to do a meal on Friday. We're going to do a meal on Saturday. We've got Dr. Alan Keyes, who's going to be our keynote speaker on Saturday. We've got Brad Cummings, who wrote the Founders Bible with David Barton. We've got Donica Hudson, to Pray America Great. We've got Scott Kesterson of Bards FM. We have so many historians, Leo and Nancy Martin of the Jenny Museum, who are partnering. They are the boots on the ground. And if you go to our website and you click on that banner, you will see a link for a private screener to the film Monumental, which was done by Kirk Cameron. If you watch that film and you still don't want to come, there's something wrong with you.
Well, when you see Alan Keyes, you tell him Pastor said hi. He remembers him. Him and I go back a long way. And
two righteous men of God changing America.
Right, and Kurt Cameron too. We've had him on over the years when some of the films that he first brought out to the.
You probably had him on when he did this one, Monumental. It was from 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, in fact, I'm sure I did. Yeah, and so, yep, absolutely. We had we've been doing now. Let me just say this. Randy, did you want to say something? You?
No. I was just thinking of Kirk Cameron and Fireproof. That's
okay.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. That was great. Yeah.
Yeah, going back. We were back, well, all the way back in November, I believe it was 8th of 2016, the very night Trump won the election. That very night, we told you, we went on and we said the 2020 election will be the most corrupt of where it comes to election fraud. It's going to break all records. It'll be the most amount of election fraud ever seen on election. And boy, were we right. I mean, we knew that because we've been doing our research. We've been listening and they were coming. They weren't trying to hide it. Big tech, Marky Zuckerberg and all the others were coming out and saying how they were going to throw it. They thought they were going to do it then. They admitted they failed. And so we told you that. Now, going back to earlier this year, going back to around March of this year, February, March, we were telling you that you're going to see Democrats registering as Republicans, and they're going to run. They're going to run as Republicans.
Yes.
And it's going to be on a nationwide scale. We were warning people here in Ohio. And boy, did we see that. We saw that in huge, huge numbers. And I noticed that you ladies picked up on that the other night when I was listening to you.
Hang on, Pastor Ernie. I lost my earbud there. Can't say that again.
All right. I was saying how, I noticed that you ladies had picked up on the fact that the idea was to get the Democrats to register as Republicans in the primaries. All across the country, we warned people that was going to happen.
Boy. Yeah, so what's happened here in Ohio is that when we had the primaries, especially for governor race, the Democrats decided that they were going to make sure that DeWine won the primary because it was a really tight race. And honestly, we had the ability to oust out DeWine. We had the numbers. And we actually had the numbers even with the Democrats voting in the primary. That's how many people came out. That's how many Republicans came out for the primary. But we did, there was that split vote between Blystone and Renacci. And then it looked like DeWine had some sort of crazy shutout. Well, yeah, if you're going to get all the Democrats coming over to vote for you, that's what it's going to look like. We have to get rid of our open primaries here in Ohio. It's very interesting, though, because I was looking at in the Senate race, there was this random guy that nobody had heard about. And he was actually neck and neck there for a while with J.D. Vance because, again, the Democrats came over. They knew that they already had their Democrat, so they didn't need to vote in their primary. And they know that a Republican is going to win in Ohio. So they chose the Democrat, which is DeWine. And, I really think that our spineless jellyfish people that we have representing us in the House and the Senate, I got to tell you, Pastor Ernie, from what we've discovered talking to patriots on the ground, trying to break into the Republican Party, trying to make those grassroots changes, the stronghold in Ohio in the Republican Party is tight. It is, trying to primary a rhino, there is so much money. I don't know where this money comes from. Where does this money come from for just basic?
Comes from the Democrats.
I know, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's crazy. For little seats, you know, for not even like elected seats, for state central committeemen. You know, where does this money come from?
And that's why we keep saying that in order to beat them, we have to go through the courts of heaven.
Yeah.
That's the way we're going to beat them.
Don't you think, though, that if we had a recall mechanism, it would defeat that kind of stuff? Because what they do is that once they get in there, you can't get them out. But if we could, if we could get them out, it would clean up a lot. It would.
It would have, too, if we could have the same standards for independents where it comes to getting on the ballot. Yeah. If we had level playing ground, we would have better, you know, much better candidates coming up, too, because you're right, the Republican Party now rhinos have taken over so much of the leadership. And so.
Yeah, isn't that what Christine told us in church on Sunday from the Tea Party? That like at that meeting they'd had, that nationally this is everywhere. It's not just Ohio.
Right.
This is everywhere.
Yeah. And so you've got all of these anti-Trumpers, what has taken place. And so here, you know, I've noticed this too. Now, I've known Mike DeWine for about 45 years. I've known him. In fact, we used to be very good friends back in the early days. He was very pro-life.
He sure was.
Yes.
I mean, I believe he still is very pro-life, but and he was conservative back in the early days, very conservative, in fact. But recently, when I couldn't believe it, I fell off my chair when I seen him appoint Amy Atkins, okay?
She locked us down. You know, he acted... Thank God that he didn't shut down the churches. I think that was the only thing that he didn't do that other Republicans did. But he basically shut us down. You know, he promised that we were going to be on that tiered masking thing, and then it was just statewide masking. He didn't stand up for businesses or for people in the healthcare industry to force so they could fight, you know, taking the forced vaccine. He has not stood with any of the health and freedom measures. Jennifer Gross is out there pretty much hung dry by everybody in the House and Senate. I guess we just passed something. What was it recently? Or they're working on something that's kind of a health and freedom thing. But it's really missing the mark because it was talking about college kids and that they would still need a religious exemption and they would need a doctor's exemption. And then they would have to have a doctor patient relationship before they get their exemption. And the Republicans run the state. Yeah. It's, enact vaccine choice and anti-discrimination act. HB 248. Is it HB 248 or is it a new one?
Is it a new one?
There's a new one out. There's a new one that they're actually working on right now. That I think is passing. Yeah, I think HB 248 is in the water.
That's supposed to be on the ballot in May of 30 or 23.
Yeah, yeah. And so we have all these rhinos. None of them are standing up for your rights. And quite frankly, I think they're pretty upset that we actually got the heartbeat bill enacted because now what are they going to run on? And what are they going to fake people out with?
Yeah, they've been abusing the right to life movement just for funding alone. So since that's, you know, not going to be their moneymaker anymore, and I think a lot of true colors are going to come out.
We're
now.
Coming
I
up
love
to
your
a
idea about the recall thing.
We're coming up to a hard break, and when we come back from this hard break, I'm going to introduce a clip. We're going to do it's a little bit of a lengthy clip, but it's I want you ladies to listen to it and then comment. We'll be back right after this.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.